I'll ask you now to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 to 31. We are working our way together through the book of Isaiah under the heading, The Gospel According to Isaiah. This morning we want to consider together strength for the new year. Again, our text this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, simply picking up where we left off last time, beginning with verse 12. Let's hear God's word. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, again this morning we pray as we often have, that you might speak to us clearly this morning, that you might speak to us with the word of life, that this morning we might hear words of real comfort, of help, something practical and useful, something that stimulates our thoughts, that stimulates your work of grace within our lives. We pray that you would speak to us in this morning in such a way that we are godlier, or wiser, or stronger, that our faith might be strengthened, that our commitment to you might be renewed, Lord. We pray that this time this morning in your word would be well spent, that this opportunity would not be lost, it might not be frittered away, but rather you would speak to us with real life and power, that we would treasure up your word and search it out and be determined to believe it, determined to take it to heart, determined to put it into practice, Lord. We can't do this without you. So we look to you and ask you to pour out grace upon us, enable us to hear and understand, to receive and believe and apply your word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope that everyone is rested and refreshed and relaxed. You've had, hopefully, a break from your usual routine. Kids, I know, have had
time off from school. Hopefully adults have had a break from work and a break from your usual routine. We need that. We need some downtime. You can't always be go, go, go. And hopefully you've had some time during the holidays to relax and to rest. If not, today's the Lord's Day. And one of the purposes of the day is for us to rest and be refreshed and have a break from our usual responsibilities. And of course, tomorrow's a holiday, New Year's Day. So even if you haven't rested, maybe it's been a very hectic holidays, we still have time to rest and be refreshed because we need that. We're made that way. We need time. We need downtime. We need time to be with friends. We need time to laugh. We need time to relax. We need to be renewed and refreshed. And so I hope you'll get that today and tomorrow as well. But soon we'll be back to our usual routines. Kids will be going back to school. Adults, we'll be going back to work. And soon we'll be back into our usual responsibilities. And that's a good thing. It's good to rest and relax and have fun and be refreshed. But it's also good to go back to work and to use your gifts and go back to school and to be productive and useful and to serve the Lord. And those are all, it's all good. And I hope you're excited about the new year. I hope you're looking forward to getting back into your usual responsibilities. I hope you enjoyed your time off, but I hope you're also excited and looking forward to the new year and your usual responsibilities and getting back at your chores and your job and using your skills and your talents to serve the Lord. But one of the good things about having time off is it does give you a chance to think, to reflect. You know, when everything's go, 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 sometimes you don't have time to think. So one of the good things about time off is it gives you a chance to look back and reflect. And one thing we want to do this morning is looking ahead to the new year. Prepare ourselves for the fact that sometimes we do get worn out. You know, as we get back into the usual routine, sometimes we take on too many responsibilities, or sometimes we can't help it. Sometimes there's just too much homework, or there's too many responsibilities, or there's too much pressure, and there's too much stress, and sometimes we get worn out. Now is an opportunity to look ahead, and we want to be hopeful, but also realistic. What can we do? What can we do to avoid being run down? I mean, it's good to be tired. It's good to work hard and be good and tired at the end of the day. But we don't want to get worn out. We don't want to get burned out. Looking ahead, what can we do so that we can go into the new year and be active and productive and fruitful and useful and work hard and do our very best without getting burnt out? What can we do to avoid burnout? And if we do get exhausted that way and worn out, then what do? How do you get back on your feet? I want to remind you this morning, and hopefully something we can remember all year long. No one is like the Lord. And when you wait upon Him, you will find the strength you need. Okay, remember what we saw last time. God told the people of Jerusalem, that's the people of God, the city of Jerusalem, or the people of God, told them, get up on a high mountain. God's people are to get up where their voice can be heard and shout out and say, behold your God. Okay? We need to be reminded who God is. We all need to be reminded who God is. In this case, the people of Jerusalem were told to get up on a high mountain and to tell their brothers and sisters in Judah. Well, Judah is the southern part of Israel. Those are the people of God. You know, the Assyrian army had come in and invaded, and God's people was like withered grass. They'd been trampled down. They'd been defeated. All that was left, really, was the city of Jerusalem and the people who had fled there. And so the people in Jerusalem were told, get up on a high mountain and encourage your brothers and sisters by saying, behold your God. Okay, we need to remind one another throughout the year who God is. That's where we find our strength and our encouragement. You got to learn to remind yourself and remind one another just who God is. Well, that's where we pick up this morning, beginning with verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? All right, imagine you've gone down to the shore. You're looking out over the vast ocean. Water as far as you can see. How much water can you scoop up in one hand? Now, not two hands. Normally we scoop up water with two hands, but how much water can you scoop up with one hand? Well, not much, because it's going to run through your fingers. And the only water you can hold is really that what you might call it, the little bit in the hollow of your palm, Isaiah says, all the vast waters, the depths of the sea can fit in the hollow of God's hand. Or look up and consider the skies and the vastness of space, infinite in every direction. Who can measure space? Says here that God has marked off the heavens with a span, which could mean that he sees the beginning and the end, or it actually could be a reference again to his hand, the idea that God can look up at the heavens and say, that's how big it is. What to us is infinite and immeasurable is nothing compared to the Lord. Isaiah is deliberately evoking images of the biggest, the greatest, the most awe-inspiring aspects of creation, the depths of the ocean, the vastness of space, even the hills and the mountains. And he says these things are nothing compared to God. The Lord is far greater than anything we've ever seen or imagined. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Isaiah is deliberately taking the greatest, the most awe-inspiring aspects of creation and saying they are nothing compared to God. The Lord is far greater than anything we've ever seen or imagined. The Lord has infinite and eternal understanding. Verse 13, who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? I remember when I was a kid and I was first being taught long division. And I remember thinking, well, there it is. You know, we all have our limits. I've hit my limit. I remember thinking, that's it. I've done well in math so far, but I will never understand this. I will never figure it out. And eventually, the light bulb came on, and I got it. It clicked. God has never had a moment like that. There was never a moment for God in which the light bulb wasn't already on. He never had to have a eureka moment. He never had to be taught something. He never had to something explained to him. He never scratched his head and pondered something because he already understood it. His understanding is infinite and eternal. God has never had to be trained. No one's ever had to show him something or explain anything to him. The Lord has infinite and eternal understanding. The great nations of the world are nothing compared to God. Now, as you look ahead to the new year, hopefully you do so with confidence. God's people, if nothing else, should be confident. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who cares for us, and we should be confident. Hopefully, as you look at the new year, you're excited, you're hopeful, you're confident. But also, you want to be realistic. There are going to be challenges. And I wonder, what are those challenges that you're concerned about? Is it just the sheer amount of work? I mean, just a lot of work getting back to school and all the homework and the projects or things waiting for you, you know, that you've put aside for the holidays, but things around the house, projects around the house maybe you're going to work on, or maybe it's your health, certain health issues that have been troubling you, or whatever it is. We all have things that, well, sometimes at least they seem almost too much for us. Maybe it's just the uncertainty of it all. You don't know what the new year is going to hold. You don't know what's going to happen. The uncertainty can be overwhelming for us. We all have some things in life that just seem too big for us, too much for us. For the people of Jerusalem, it was the nations of the world. Again, if you want to look at that map there in your bulletin, you can see that Jerusalem was such a small little city compared to the vast Assyrian Empire. Assyria stretched from Babylon in the east all the way down into Africa and to Egypt and beyond. And in comparison, Jerusalem was so small. And to see this vast Assyrian army coming closer and closer and closer, and it was just overwhelming. And remember, we've seen that God had promised he was going to save them from the Assyrians, but he said generations to come, the Babylonians would arise. That would be the next great world power, and they would come, and they would conquer Jerusalem and carry everybody off to Babylon. And it's just, it's overwhelming. Maybe your concerns are like the people of Jerusalem. You're concerned about the next generation. You're concerned about the future of our country and the people of God. And it's overwhelming. God is greater than whatever it is that overwhelms you. for the people of Jerusalem, it was the nations of the world. Isaiah says, behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. Whatever it is that you find overwhelming, whatever it is that's too much for you, is too big for you, it is a drop in the bucket for God. The great nations of the world are nothing compared to God. Verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it. A goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Isaiah has deliberately evoked images of the greatest things we can imagine, the vastness of the seas, the depths of space, the size of the mountains. And he says, God is greater than all these things. Even the nations of the world are nothing compared to God. Well, then what are we going to compare God to? What is God like? What is like God? To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with him? If God is greater than everything we've ever seen or imagined, then what are we going to compare to God? He says, an idol? Really? Isaiah's kind of, he's making fun of us. He said, really? You're gonna hammer something out of gold, metal, and cover it with gold? Or if you can't afford that, you're going to pay somebody to make something out of wood and it can't even move? Really? If even the vastness of space doesn't compare to God, or all the vast nations of the world, really you're going to think you're going to make something that's going to compare to God? No one and nothing in all of creation is anything compared to God. You know, the purpose of idols really was to try to somehow deal with the unknown, the uncertainty. You worshipped Baal because you were anxious because the weather was so unpredictable, and if it ruined the crops, then you're not going to eat. And so you made idols because you're trying in some way to control the uncontrollable. Isaiah says, but these things you're putting your hope in are so small and insignificant. Whatever it is that you get most excited about, the thing you're counting on this new year, the thing that you're hoping in, if I can just get enough money, if I can just get my grades up, whatever it is, even that isn't enough. It's nothing compared to God. No one and no thing, nothing, is like the Lord. When you wait upon him, you'll find the strength you need. Verse 21, do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Isaiah says, God rules over all things. Here you are, you're so anxious about the Assyrian army and the invasion and the fact that the Babylonians one day are going to come and conquer you. And don't you know God is greater and that God is in charge and he rules over all things? Doesn't that give you some comfort? Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Verse 24, scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither and the tempest carries them off like stubble. Now this is a recurring image in Isaiah that all flesh is like grass. Remember he's talking about the grasses that grew naturally on the plains in Palestine and they would just spring up naturally. No one planted them, no one waters them. They just spring up with their wild flowers and they're beautiful for a season. And then the seasons change and the dry wind blows on them and the grasses fade, they turn brown, the petals fall off. And Isaiah has told us time and again, mankind is like that. All flesh, we're like the flowers of the field and we spring up for a season and we flourish and we do well and then we fade away. We're like that. The things we worry about are like that. And the things we get so excited about and we can depend upon and we trust in are like that. Sometimes we get worn out because Because we're like that. And that's the way we're made. We're like grass of the field that grows up and it has its seasons and then it fades. And we get tired, we get worn out. Even when you're young. You know, little bitty kids that seem like perpetual motion machines because they run around all over the place, sooner or later they crash. They gotta have a nap. But certainly as we get older, we're like the grass of the field. We begin to get weak, we begin to get sick, we get worn out, we don't have the energy that we used to have. We're like the grass of the field. We grow up and we begin to fade. Sometimes we're tired because we're not taking care of ourselves. Sometimes it's because we're trying to do too much. Sometimes we're just under a lot of pressure. You're not eating well or you're sick or whatever. If you don't have the kind of energy you need or you want to have, maybe you need to get that checked out. But sometimes our fatigue is a reflection of wrong thoughts about God. I'm not saying fatigue is just in your head. It's real. But sometimes our fatigue, our exhaustion, is a result of wrong thinking about the Lord. Verse 25, to whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Sometimes we get so caught up in our work or responsibilities or fun or whatever it is we're doing. Maybe you're enjoying it. But you get so caught up in it that you just forget about God. And you run yourself down and you wear yourself out. And Isaiah says, you know, sometimes you need to stop and look up and look at the sky and just see how vast it is. And remind yourself, you know what, all those stars, God knows every one of them by name. It puts things in perspective, doesn't it? When you stop and you look up and you just remember how big and vast everything is, that you're reminded, you know what? The whole world isn't on my shoulders after all. God knows every star by name. He knows every hair on your head. There's a certain amount of fatigue comes when we forget who God is. We wear ourselves out. We put all the responsibilities of the world on our shoulder and we forget that we have a heavenly Father who loves us and takes care of us. And sometimes we just need to stop and look up and remember who God is. Sometimes we just forget God. We're just busy. Other times we're just having wrong thoughts of God. Verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? The Jewish people didn't forget God. They were just so religious. It was built into their culture. They weren't going to forget God. But they felt neglected by God. Here they were. The Assyrian army was invading. And it was getting closer and closer. And this weighs on you. This isn't a momentary thing. This is something that's been going on for months. Maybe a year or more. And they're praying. And yet they don't see any results. And they, one city after another falls. And they've had to flee into Jerusalem. And it's not that they forgot God. It's just they thought God had forgotten us. They were remembering God. But they were thinking wrong thoughts of God. They were thinking, God doesn't see. God has forgotten me. God has neglected me. We know those things aren't true. But sometimes under pressure or under stress or the busyness of life, those thoughts do crop up and they go unchecked. And it weighs on you when you feel like it's all on you. It's all on my shoulders. I got to do it. God's not there. God's not going to help me. You can't see any end, any way out. And it weighs on you. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Now, as you begin the new year, I hope you are rested and you're refreshed, and I hope you're ready to go back to school or back to work or back to your usual responsibilities with real zeal. You know, Paul says, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord with all your might, and you should commit yourself. You need to be disciplined and focused and hardworking. God's people should be productive, hardworking people. And sometimes we do need to look inside, and we need to dig deep, and we need to recommit ourselves and really commit yourself. I'm going to do my best. I hope you have goals for the new year. I hope you're resolved. You're playing ahead. These are things I want to get accomplished around the house. These are things I want to grow in. These are areas I need to improve. These are things I need to work on. And we want to dig deep, and we want to look inside, and we want to do our best. And that's important. But it's not enough to just look inside. You also need to look outside yourself. Because you are going to get worn out sometime. You're going to come to the end of your rope. There are going to be some situations where you don't know what to do. And you need to look to someone who never gets tired. And who never has questions. He only has answers. You need to look to the Lord who never gets tired. He never gets weak. He never gets faint. His understanding is unsearchable. That means we can't find an end to God's understanding. We can't begin to explore God's wisdom and knowledge. You need to look to Him, the source of strength and power. He never gets worn out. He never gets puzzled. He never gets confused. And that's where you're going to find your strength. God can be trusted to give you the strength you need. Verse 29, He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. See, Isaiah is very realistic. He's been telling us, we're like the grass of the field. That's just what we are. We're weak. We have limitations. You know, even if you're strong and rigorous and healthy and you work hard all day long, at the end of the day, you got to go to bed. That's just the way we're made. We have our limits. We all get tired at the end of the day. But God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. God can be trusted to give you the strength you need. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Now, for the people of Jerusalem, what they wanted, what they needed, was an army. Remember that they were even trying to make a deal with Egypt for chariots and horses, but the problem is they didn't have enough men to put on them. They needed soldiers. They needed young men to fight. They're concerned about protecting themselves from the Assyrian invasion. They're also concerned about the future, the next generation, with the idea that down the road the Babylonians are going to carry them off and the sons of King Hezekiah are going to be carried off and be servants in the palace of Babylon. They're concerned about the future. We need young men. We need the next generation. That's good. They did need young men. But even young men, even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Even those things that you're hoping for and planning on and relying on in the new year, even those things have their limits. We've got to look beyond them to the Lord, who can be trusted to raise you up. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. To wait for the Lord is to look expectantly on God. To anticipate and expect God to provide, God to deliver. And the idea here of waiting in the Hebrew is that idea of living in tension. God promises blessing, but I don't see it right now. God promises love and grace and deliverance, but it's not happening right now. And so waiting is living in that tension of the moment where God has said, I'm gonna send the king of Assyria back to his homeland, and yet I don't see it right now. I see the Assyrian army right out my door. Waiting is living in that tension and trusting God in spite of what you see and what you feel. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. In spite of what I see, I am trusting the word of God, and I'm believing him, and I'm looking to him to do what he's promised, to provide for me, to bless me, and in this case, to strengthen me. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. The people of Jerusalem had two major problems. The first is that the Assyrian army was invading, and then even though God said that he would deliver them from that, God also said the Babylonians will later come and defeat you. But beneath that was the greater problem, and that is the people had sinned. That was the reason he was allowing the Assyrians to come in. That was the reason later the Babylonians would come in, is because the people had sinned. And so we saw last week the Babylonians would carry them far off, far from home, far from where they belonged, far from the presence of the Lord, far from the temple, from the house of the Lord. Isaiah says, sin separates you from God. We're far from who we ought to be. We're far from the people that we ought to be. And therefore, we're far from the Lord by nature. We're far from that fellowship with God that we were made for. Mankind has broken fellowship with God, and so that has sent cracks through all of creation. All of life is broken because at the heart, mankind has broken fellowship with God. The picture here is that even strong young men stumble and fall. It's not just that you're going to get tired sometimes. You're going to get tired sometimes, but more than that, at times, you're going to forget God. You're going to get caught up in the moment, or you're going to think wrong thoughts and feel like God's forgotten you and neglected you. You're going to have small thoughts of God. Sometimes you remember God, but you just forget how great he is. When you have small thoughts of God, it's like your problems seem so big and God seems irrelevant. That happens. We have small thoughts of God. We have wrong thoughts of God. Often we have no thoughts of God. We're going to say, and you're going to say and sometimes do things that you ought not do. You're going to embarrass yourself sometimes. The way you overreact to situations and you panic or you lose your temper. And yet this is God's promise that in Jesus Christ, he will raise you up. Even youth will faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. The picture there is even those who've fallen, even those who are laid flat on the ground, shall mount up like eagles. You picture eagles floating on the currents. The idea of God picks up those who are fallen and lifts us up to new heights. Isaiah told us, "Behold, the virgin shall give birth, and he shall be called Emmanuel," which is God with us. And then he said to us, "A child is born to us, a son is given, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." We saw last week, God promised that he would come and he would be strong and his arm would be powerful to rule, and yet he would be tender. And he would be like a shepherd, that God would come in the form of a child, Jesus Christ, to bring us back to himself. That Jesus would offer his life upon the cross to make atonement for us or propitiation for us. The good shepherd lays down his sheep for us. Now we're reminded that Jesus Christ, having made atonement, having paid for our sins, Jesus rose from the dead so that in Christ you might be lifted up. We all fall. Mankind has fallen into sin, and we fall and we stumble. But in Jesus Christ, you can be raised up. Proverbs says a righteous man falls 7 times. He rises again. God can be trusted to raise you up. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. No one is like the Lord. No one else is like the Lord, who is greater than the vast heavens, greater than the skies, greater than the mountains, greater than the seas, and yet who came down and took on human flesh and gave his life on the cross for you. No one else is like that. No one is like the Lord. When you wait upon him, you will find the strength you need. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, redirect our thoughts, our focus, our dependence, our reliance off of things, off of ourselves, off of others, and turn our reliance, our trust, our faith, our dependence on you. Help us, Lord, to look to you. You are the one of infinite and eternal understanding, of immeasurable strength and power. Help us, Lord, to look in faith to you. Help us not to forget you in the busyness of the moment. Help us, Lord, not to put trust in the wrong people, the wrong places, or even ourselves. But help us, Lord, to look in faith to you, to remind ourselves and remind one another just who you are and how great you are. And in time, oh Lord, in your time, raise us up. Lift us up. And give us the strength we need. Lord, this is our prayer this morning. And for the new year, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.